Oh, as Steve Cannon would say, there are gremlins in the system. But the good news is it's Father's Day tomorrow, and it's time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack, and by the way, happy Father's Day to you tomorrow.
A wonderful weekend we've got ahead of us. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about a perfect wine for Father's Day, and that's Bordeaux. Bordeaux is probably one of the most sweeping, well, it is the largest growing area in France of vines and vineyards, etc. And they produce there about 800 million bottles of wine a year, some of which is the most expensive and highly sought after in the world. A lot of it is just ordinary table wine, etc. But it's a tremendously large area. You know, it's a major city of Bordeaux, or of France, Bordeaux is. And it has a very unusual place. Two rivers come together, the Dordogne and the Garonne, and they and then they form the Garonne, which goes into the Atlantic Ocean. And in that area, they produce some of the most remarkable wines in the entire world. They were the first big exporters of wine, and one of the reasons being is the English liked wine, and of course in England the climate is such you can't grow grapes for wine. And so they were looking to always bring wine in from southern ports. And then Eleanor of Aquitaine married Henry III, or whatever number he was, and brought all the lands around Aquitaine, which is Bordeaux, to the English crown. So for 130 or 40 years, that was part of England, and the wines became very popular in England because they were much better than the wines they were getting from other parts of Europe at the time, the most southern Mediterranean ones. And as a matter of fact, the British today call it claret because the wine, when it was shipped to England in those days, was not murky or cloudy, but clear, and they called it claret. And today, if you ask for a glass of claret anywhere in the British Isles, you'll get a glass of Bordeaux wine. But it has a very noble history and produces all sorts of wine. You know, when we think of, when someone says Bordeaux, generally everybody thinks of red. And there's a good reason for that. 80% of the production of Bordeaux wines are red. However, they make wonderful white wines, and they make probably the greatest sweet white wine in the entire world, which is called Château Yquem. I think, is the most complex wine I've ever tasted in my life. It really is a remarkable wine. You don't need much of it. That's why half bottles of Yquem sell so well. An ounce or two, and you're just in heaven. Have it with a dried apricot, and it might be the best dessert you've ever had. But that's just one of the most exclusive wines in the world, and that comes from Bordeaux, Château Yquem. There are a lot of other sauternes. They're just wonderful. And the whole big area that we'll cover later this summer is white Bordeaux, which is often overlooked. And it, in my opinion, has a place at the table, and it's a value, etc. White Bordeaux are just wonderful. We've talked about them in the past, and they're very, very delicious white wines. As I said, most people overlook. They get Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc, etc., and don't think of anything else. But believe me, a white Bordeaux can be a delightful experience. As a matter of fact, you know, the French are artists in blending, and Bordeaux is arguably the home of Cabernet Sauvignon, and it also happens to be the home of Sauvignon Blanc. So two of the great wines of the world had their birth in Bordeaux. And the folks in Bordeaux are great blenders. As a matter of fact, the right bank blend is usually 70% Cab, 15% Merlot, and 15% Cabernet Franc. And that's called the right bank blend. However, the wines go all over the board from Bordeaux. They can be 100% Merlot, they can be 100% Cabernet, etc., etc. So the blending is not, that's not a regulation or anything else. It's just a suggestion. As a matter of fact, in was about 1988, they took that suggestion to heart out in Napa Valley and began to produce what they called in Napa Valley Meritage. And Meritage was a blend of Cabernet Merlot and Cabernet Franc. Again, they didn't follow that 15% of the grape type, but they blended them and to excellent results, and they had a Meritage contest, who made the best one, etc. But the Bordelais have perfected the art of blending wine, and blending these different varietals, they come up with, as I said, not only lots of very good table wines that won't break the bank, but they also happen to come up with very exciting and some of the most expensive and sought-after wines of the entire world. The climate of Bordeaux is very mild and kind of almost Mediterranean, and that's perhaps why the grapes have done so well there. The right bank is the right bank of the Dordogne River, and the left bank is on the other side, and it's divided into, this is the left bank, is where all, most, not all, but most of the great wines come from. And that's divided into areas like Graves and the Médoc. And the Médoc is situated as wonderful wines. That's where Pouillac comes from and Margaux. And those are town names as well as chateau names. And they are just absolutely terrific. However, surprisingly, Cabernet Sauvignon is the second most planted grape in Bordeaux. The first most planted grape, believe it or not, is Merlot. And Merlot is enjoying, thank heavens, a bit of a renaissance now after that movie just bashed the hell out of Merlot years ago. It's finally reestablishing itself as a real serious varietal. And why not? It is a serious varietal and is just really much sought after. As I said, we're doing a lot of, covering a lot of ground when we talk about Bordeaux, but some of the top red wines were, for example, Chateau Lafite, Chateau Margaux, Chateau Latour, Aubryon, Mouton Rothschild, are all considered first gross. And what happened is in 1855, the French had a huge exhibition in Paris, and they decided they would classify the wines of Bordeaux. And these wines, with the exception of Mouton Rothschild, were all classified as first gross, top of the top. And Mouton Rothschild, under the guidance of Baron Philippe Rothschild in 1973, he decided he was going to lobby to get them changed. As a matter of fact, Mouton had a sling etched in stone over the port to go into into Mouton that said, first we are not, second we cannot be, Mouton we are. And indeed, finally, in 1973, he had Mouton upgraded. It was the first time and the only time that 1855 classification has ever been changed to celebrate the Mouton 73, which was just an okay vintage. But as every year, the Rothschild family commissions an artist, and that was Picasso in 73, to paint the label for Mouton that year. And so that's the only time it's ever changed. However, when we look at Saint-Emilion, which is on the other side of the river, there's some great wines there too. Chateau Zone, Cheval Blanc, L'Angelus, Pavie. These wines are all in the stratosphere, hundreds and hundreds of dollars a bottle. Are they worth it? Yeah, sometime I think so. But, you know, you have to have a real super special occasion. And also, it just so happens that these wines really age very, very well if they're properly taken care of. So you can have, I know my fortunate experience in life, I've had some of these first gross, they date back to the 1800s. And were they good? Well, they were an experience, that's for sure. And like I said, the Saint-Emilion ones, which are more heavily to Merlot, like Ozone, Cheval Blanc, L'Angelus, Pavie, those are awful. often classified, finally in 1955. And, you know, the labels on wines from Bordeaux are easy to read. Everybody finds them complex, but not really. But let's assume there's, I'm making a wine, Chateau Farrell. Well, on the outer wing, it's United States wine. We move to the inner wing, it's Minnesota wine. We move further in, it's Minneapolis wine. And then we move further into the circle, the very center of it, it becomes Chateau Jack Farrell property. And that's how the Bordelais label their wines. It's as I said, it's almost like looking at a target, and the closer you get to the bullseye, the better off you are with the wine. Let's not overlook the fact they make hundreds and thousands of gallons of wine that are very, very good everyday drinking wine. So, as I said, what a great thing to do for Dad, to buy him a bottle of good claret for Father's Day. I'm sure he would enjoy that very, very much. As a matter of fact, speaking of Father's Day gifts, Ted Farrell has put together one of his famous 6 for $60 boxes of wine, 6 bottles of wine for $60. And believe me, there's enough in those 6 bottles of wine to give good old Dad an enjoyable drinking experience for days. It starts with Maison Rosé, which is our own rosé, which we have made in Burgundy for Haskell's. Absolutely delicious aperitif wine. And then for those that like Chardonnay, Craft Creamery Chardonnay from California is just a delicious, not too oaky, so it goes very, very nicely with food. Then our new friend, Ivoroni, his Toscana. We talked about Tuscan wines a couple weeks ago, and this is a wonderful one. Would go with any meat from the grill very, very well. Then Gearbox Pinot Noir, perfect with salmon off the grill. Just a terrific bottle of wine and a good expression of Cabernet Sauvignon, believe me. And then Provenera Zinfandel. Now, there's a wine to have with barbecued ribs or anything barbecue for Dad's Day. It'll be just absolutely terrific, and my pleasure for you to try some great Bordeaux to share with Dad.
Some great ideas for Dad. And Jack, remind folks that we have a lot of locations at Haskell's.
Indeed, we have loads of locations for Dad, and we also have some for Dad who likes bourbon. We've got a 13-year-old George Dickel on sale, and if your dad likes Cabernet, what a Cabernet. We got Founders Reserve Napa from St. Helena. Hard to beat it, so good. You can get these and all sorts of other wonderful wines that have Founders Reserve Napa from St. Helena. Hard to beat it, so good. You can get these and all sorts of other wonderful wines at Haskell's. There's a Haskell's nearby, one in Bloomington, Excelsior. There's a Haskell's in Faribault right off of 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar is not to be missed. In Minneapolis, we have free parking on both Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And don't forget, Haskell's are the wine people, and we do deliver. And incidentally, most people are going to enjoy this afternoon, at least several hundred, a ride on the beautiful St. Croix. And don't forget, we have 3 more of those in the middle of each of the months of the summer yet to come.
Always lots of fun. Jack, happy Father's Day again, and let's talk next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Thank you, Jack. Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Oh, as Steve Cannon would say, there are gremlins in the system. But the good news is it's Father's Day tomorrow, and it's time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack, and by the way, happy Father's Day to you tomorrow.
A wonderful weekend we've got ahead of us, and I thought I'd talk a little bit about a perfect wine for Father's Day, and that's Bordeaux. Bordeaux is probably one of the most sweeping, well, it is the largest growing area in France, of vines and vineyards, etc. And they produce there about 800 million bottles of wine a year, some of which is the most expensive and highly sought after in the world. A lot of it is just ordinary table wine, etc. But it's a tremendously large area. You know, it's a major city of Bordeaux, or of France, Bordeaux is. And it has a very unusual place. Two rivers come together, the Dordogne and the Garonne, and they Garonne, and then they form the Garonne, which goes into the Atlantic Ocean. And in that area, they produce some of the most remarkable wines in the entire world. They were the first big exporters of wine, and one of the reasons being is the English liked wine. And, of course, in England, the climate is such you can't grow grapes for wine. And so they were looking to always bring wine in from southern ports. And then Eleanor of Aquitaine married Henry III, or whatever number he was, and brought all the lands around Aquitaine, which is Bordeaux, to the English crown. So for 130 or 40 years, that was part of England, and the wines became very popular in England because they were much better than the wines they were getting from other parts of Europe at the time, the most southern Mediterranean ones. And as a matter of fact, the British today call it claret, because the wine, when it was shipped to England in those days, was not murky or cloudy, but clear, and they called it claret. And today, if you ask for a glass of claret anywhere in the British Isles, you'll get a glass of Bordeaux wine. But it has a very noble history and produces all sorts of wine. You know, when we think of, when someone says Bordeaux, generally everybody thinks of red. And there's a good reason for that. 80% of the production of Bordeaux wines are red. However, they make wonderful white wines, and they make probably the greatest sweet white wine in the entire world, which is called Chateau Yquem. I think it's the most complex wine I've ever tasted in my life. It really is a remarkable wine. You don't need much of it. That's why half bottles of Yquem sell so well. An ounce or two, and you're just in heaven. Have it with a dried apricot, and it might be the best dessert you've ever had. But that's just one of the most exclusive wines in the world, and that comes from Bordeaux, Chateau Yquem. There are a lot of other Sauternes. They're just wonderful. And the whole big area that we'll cover later this summer is white Bordeaux, which is often overlooked. And it, in my opinion, has a place at the table, and it's a value, etc. White Bordeaux are just wonderful. We've talked about them in the past, and they're very, very delicious white wines. As I said, most people overlook. They get Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc, etc., and don't think of anything else. But believe me, a white Bordeaux can be a delightful experience. As a matter of fact, you know, the French are artists in blending, and Bordeaux is arguably the home of Cabernet Sauvignon, and it also happens to be the home of Sauvignon Blanc. So two of the great wines of the world had their birth in Bordeaux, and the folks in Bordeaux are great blenders. As a matter of fact, the right bank blend is usually 70% Cab, 15% Merlot, and 15% Cabernet Franc. And that's called the right bank blend. However, the wines go all over the board from Bordeaux. They can be 100% Merlot, they can be 100% Cabernet, etc., etc. So the blending is not, that's not a regulation or anything else. It's just a suggestion. As a matter of fact, in it was about 1988, they took that suggestion to heart out in Napa Valley and began to produce what they called in Napa Valley Meritage. And Meritage was a blend of Cabernet Merlot and Cabernet Franc. Again, they didn't follow that 15% of the grape type, but they blended them and to excellent results, and they had a Meritage contest, who made the best one, etc. But the Bordelais have perfected the art of blending wine and blending these different varietals. They come up with, as I said, not only lots of very good table wines that won't break the bank, but they also happen to come up with very exciting and some of the most expensive and sought after wines of the entire world. The climate of Bordeaux is very mild and kind of almost Mediterranean, and that's perhaps why the grapes have done so well there. The right bank is the right bank of the Dordogne River, and the left bank is on the other side, and it's divided into, this is the left bank, is where all, most, not all, but most of the great wines come from. And that's divided into areas like Graves and the Médoc. And the Médoc, as situated, has wonderful wines. That's where Pouillac comes from and Margaux. And those are town names as well as chateau names. And they are just absolutely terrific. However, surprisingly, Cabernet Sauvignon is the second most planted grape in Bordeaux. The first most planted grape, believe it or not, is Merlot. And Merlot is enjoying, thank heavens, a bit of a renaissance now after that movie just bashed the hell out of Merlot years ago. It's finally reestablishing itself as a real serious varietal. And why not? It is a serious varietal and is just really much sought after. As I said, we're doing a lot of, covering a lot of ground when we talk about Bordeaux, but some of the top red wines were, for example, Chateau Lafite, Chateau Margaux, Chateau Latour, Aubryon, Mouton Rothschild, are all considered first growth. And what happened is in 1855, the French had a huge exhibition in Paris, and they decided they would classify the wines of Bordeaux. And these wines, with the exception of Mouton Rothschild, were all classified as first growth, top of the top. And Mouton Rothschild, under the guidance of Baron Philippe Rothschild in 1973, he decided he was going to lobby to get them changed. As a matter of fact, Mouton had a slaying etched in stone over the port to go into Mouton that said, first we are not, second we cannot be, Mouton we are. And indeed, finally, in 1973, he had Mouton upgraded. It was the first time and the only time that 1855 classification has ever been changed to celebrate the Mouton 73, which was just an okay vintage. But as every year, the Rothschild family commissions an artist, and that was Picasso in 73, to paint the label for Mouton that year. And so that's the only time it's ever changed. However, when we look at Saint-Emilion, which is on the other side of the river, there's some great wines there too. Chateau Zone, Cheval Blanc, L'Angelus, Pavy. These wines are all in the stratosphere, hundreds and hundreds of dollars a bottle. Are they worth it? Yeah, sometime I think so. But, you know, you have to have a real super special occasion. And also, it just so happens that these wines really age very, very well if they're properly taken care of. So you can have, I know my fortunate experience in life, I've had some of these first growths that date back to the 1800s. And were they good? Well, they were an experience, that's for sure. And like I said, the Saint-Emilion ones, which are more heavily to Merlot, like Ozone, Cheval Blanc, L'Angelus, Pavy, those are awful, often classified finally in 1955. And, you know, the labels on wines from Bordeaux are easy to read. Everybody finds them complex, but not really. But let's assume there's, I'm making a wine, Chateau Farrell. Well, on the outer wing, it's United States wine. We move to the inner wing, it's Minnesota wine. We move further in, it's Minneapolis wine. And then we move further into the circle, the very center of it, it becomes Chateau Jack Farrell property. And that's how the Bordelais label their wines. It's as I said, it's almost like looking at a target, and the closer you get to the bullseye, the better off you are. With the wine. But let's not overlook the fact they make hundreds and thousands of gallons of wine that are very, very good everyday drinking wine. So as I said, what a great thing to do for Dad, to buy him a bottle of good claret for Father's Day. I'm sure he would enjoy that very, very much. As a matter of fact, speaking of Father's Day gifts, Ted Farrell has put together one of his famous 6 for $60 boxes of wine, 6 bottles of wine for $60. And believe me, there's enough in those 6 bottles of wine to give good old Dad an enjoyable drinking experience for days. It starts with Maison Rosé, which is our own rosé, which we have made in Burgundy for Haskell's. Absolutely delicious aperitif wine. And then for those that like Chardonnay, Craft Creamery Chardonnay from California is just a delicious, not too oaky, so it goes very, very nicely with food. Then our new friend Ivoroni, his Toscana. We talked about Tuscan wines a couple of weeks ago, and this is a wonderful one. Would go with any meat from the grill very, very well. Then Gearbox Pinot Noir, perfect with salmon off the grill. Just a terrific bottle of wine and a good expression of Cabernet Sauvignon, believe me. And then Provenera Zinfandel. Now, there's a wine to have with barbecued ribs or anything barbecue for Dad's Day. It'll be just absolutely terrific, and my pleasure for you to try some great Bordeaux to share with Dad.
Oh, some great ideas for Dad. And Jack, remind folks that we have a lot of locations at Haskell's.
Indeed, we have loads of locations for Dad. And we also have some for Dad who likes bourbon. We've got a 13-year-old George Dickel on sale. And if your dad likes Cabernet, what a Cabernet. We've got Founders Reserve Napa from St. Helena. Hard to beat it, so good. You can get these and all sorts of other wonderful wines that have Founders Reserve Napa from St. Helena. Hard to beat it, so good. You can get these and all sorts of other wonderful wines at Haskell's. There's a Haskell's nearby, one in Bloomington, Excelsior. There's a Haskell's in Faribault right off of 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar is not to be missed. In Minneapolis, we have free parking on both Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And don't forget, Haskell's are the wine people, and we do deliver. And incidentally, most people are going to enjoy this afternoon, at least several hundred, our ride on the beautiful St. Croix. And don't forget, we have 3 more of those in the middle of each of the months of the summer yet to come.
Always lots of fun. Jack, happy Father's Day again, and let's talk next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Thank you, Jack. Jack Farrell from Haskell's.